Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Alexa, play 95.7 ESPN.
Playing ESPN Rochester on radio.com.
Back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, and always gracious with his time, Sal Capaccio, WGR, Buffalo Bills Radio Network, joining us now. Sal, we're going to talk some Bills OTAs from yesterday. We know you were there at practice, but I wanted to start by mentioning that one of our colleagues is moving on, and I know you recognize this as well. Mike Rodak from ESPN.com moving south with his wife and his newborn son. And as is always the case, the Bills raiding the Charlotte cupboard, and, yeah. And I guess we're getting the beat reporter from, or a beat reporter from the Charlotte Observer. Is that the word you're hearing?
That's what Mike tweeted. That's what the reporter himself was coming up here tweeted. I don't know this young man, so we'll get to know him soon enough. But always welcome other people into the beat fraternity. And going to miss Mike, though. He's a good dude. And a lot of people give him a lot of grief on Twitter and things like that, but he's always been classy in the way he's handled it. And, he's been a good friend and fun to be around on the beat. So, we'll miss him. But great opportunity for him and his recent wife to move back to where she's from, and they did have a son recently, and they're starting a family, and this is going to be a great thing for them, so we wish them all the best.
Sal, you're in Buffalo forever, right? This is your last stop?
I can't tell you guys that.
Come on, Sal.
The right answer is, I'm Sal Capaccio. I'm not leaving Buffalo until they name a middle school after me. That is the correct answer.
Maybe I'll move to Rochester. How do you know?
Mm. Oh, all right.
Now
I'm not leaving Rochester, right? Until they name a middle school after me. I think Danger Middle School has a nice ring to it.
That really does. I love what I do. People ask me questions about that all the time. As you get older, there's lots of things that matter in your life more than other things. And I've come to value a lot of the things in my job that are important to me, and my bosses are great to me at the Entercom family. And the other thing is, I have a wife that, even though she's from Germany and, came to Buffalo after living in Florida, she loves it here. And she has a job here that she loves. We have a son that we're raising here. It's a great community. So, I'm happy where I am right now, but you never know where life takes you.
Sal Capaccio, in Rochester here, Sal, before we get to the OTA talk here and minicamp and whatnot, training camp, it's a big deal here in Rochester. This time last year, we were all kind of nervous and jerky because we're not blind to the fact that there are a lot of teams are moving back to their own team facilities. When do we expect that training camp schedule to drop here? We're
salivating a little bit here, Sal.
We want dates here for Rochester.
All right, so it should come out within the next, I would say, couple of weeks. I inquired yesterday about it, and the football department is still working on it, which means Sean McDermott making sure the schedule is right. You don't want to put it out there if he's not exactly sure on everything, dates and all that kind of stuff, the times of practices. They'll be back in Rochester this year. I will forewarn you, though, I think there are even going to be a few less dates this year because there has been some rumblings about, I know there was a report month ago, maybe, from someone down in Charlotte, the Bills and Panthers could be holding some joint practices that week down in Carolina before their preseason game. If that's the case, that would cut into a little bit of St. John Fisher time. So, what's going to happen, right? That will happen, and then people will start saying, oh, here they go, they're shortening it again. That wouldn't be – and there's an indication they're leaving. Look, guys, for the Bills to leave Rochester, where are they going to go? Because there's no room right now at in Orchard Park to fit fans for training camp. You have to have – training camp open to the public. That is basically an NFL rule. And right now, even though they have very nice practice fields, there's no way to do that at New Era Field on the practice field. So they don't have a place they can go and just ship everybody. They're going to have training camp there this year. I'm pretty confident it will be there next year and through the contract, and then we'll see what happens.
Sal Capaccio joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Sal, let's discuss a little bit of what you saw yesterday at practice, all accounts that we saw. Not a great day for the offense. Let's talk first of all about Mitch Morse. We heard he got in some faces yesterday.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it just wasn't a great practice for the offense, as you just alluded to. And I thought they were a little bit lackadaisical at times, a couple of pre-snap penalties. Josh Allen wasn't particularly sharp. I didn't see John Brown out there, and you know it is voluntary. He wasn't on the injury list, so I'm wondering if say it's something else going on. So that goes on, and you could tell Brian Daboll wasn't too happy, and at one point Mitch Morse wasn't too happy, and he barked a little bit at some of the guys. So I think that's what you need to see. Now at the same turn, maybe that means the defense is looking good, right? It's always tough to judge this time of year. Last week when we were out there on Tuesday, Josh Allen was really good, and the offense looked really good and really sharp. And then it doesn't this week. So, these are the kinds of things that happen. It is only June. You hope that they look better next week. We'll get a better feel for that when we see 3 days in a row and maybe see some more consistency their way.
Yeah, I mean, between what OTAs are in mandatory minicamp, Sal, what if anything, what are the differences between the two?
Nothing really. They are all part of what they call phase three of the off-season workout. Only real difference is it's mandatory. That's it. Right now, these are voluntary, organized team activities. Next week, they are mandatory minicamp. It's just a different term, but there is no difference between the phase three as far as the rules of what they can do on the field. There is no difference between what's happening this week and what happens next week. And my suspicion is when we get out there next week, it's going to look exactly like it's looked the last three times we've been out there, which is the last 3 weeks.
And Sal, you mentioned John Brown was absent or wasn't seen or spotted. It is voluntary, but have we heard of any other players that have not been able to participate or not be able to show up for the voluntary portion of the program?
Show up? No. There's been a lot of injuries, though, guys. Yeah. And I wrote about this at WGR550.com on our website, your website. You can check it out because yesterday there were plenty of guys that did not participate due to injury, recovery of injuries, surgeries, things like that. There are also guys that are limited, wearing red non-contact jerseys, even though it's kind of an oxymoron at this time of year. There's no contact, but they're still wearing that, so people are aware that they're there and not to run into them or something. You know what I mean? That's the case. But the reason why I even noticed John Brown wasn't there, because everybody has been there. And pretty much, it's just, hey, where's John Brown? Because it has been weird kind of seeing everybody there all the time. It's been great. They've had great attendance. But John Brown, I did not see him on the field yesterday. Who knows? He could have been doing something in the facility and maintenance. But we would have been told if he had some sort of injury that he was on the list. We were not. So my assumption is he wasn't there for some other reason yesterday.
Sal, let me knock on something here. It's been pretty drama-free here compared to what we've had in years past, even last year with Zay Jones or anything. Is that fair to is that a fair way to describe what you've seen at OTAs in the spring practices so far, that when it comes to the off-the-field stuff, we...
Well, short of the linebacker, the undrafted...
Yeah, but he's not making the team, right, though.
I would say, other than the kid getting arrested, that's right, last week, that does count. He's on the roster, but you're right. Last year, it was Zay Jones in the offseason with his incident in L.A., you had Eric Wood's retirement right after that last year, right? If you think about that, right after the season, Richie Incognito and all his drama, and then LeSean and all that stuff happened during the summer. And yeah, knock on wood, we haven't had anything. But I don't want to say it's still early, you got to get through a lot of weeks here where, 6 weeks of those guys going away and coaches not being with them. And that's when you really hope, hey, let's hope nothing happens here. But you're right. It has been relatively drama-free. We did have Terrell Dodson, an undrafted rookie linebacker, got arrested and charged with a domestic abuse charge, plus some other things that were attached to that. Yesterday, Sean McDermott said they're going to let the legal process play out before handling that and making any decisions.
Sal, you mentioned LeSean McCoy, and I think we had reports that he and Singletary were splitting time with the first team. Is that what was going on? I know it's only June.
I would not, at any position, Okay, yes. Factually, that is pretty much correct, although I'll see Frank Gore is also in that rotation a little bit from what I saw. I would say of any position, though, guys, to not read anything into that, I would say it's running back because LeSean McCoy isn't going to be taking a lot of the reps right now. He just doesn't. He's there and he's working out, but if I remember correctly, I'd have to go back and look at my notes and things like that from the last few OTAs. But if I remember correctly, LeSean has always been kind of a guy that has not really been in with all the reps with all the ones, and he has always rotated in because he's getting himself ready, his body in shape, for when the season comes around. So I would not read anything into that. I think it's just a rotation that they have going on and allowing LeSean to kind of treat his body the way he needs to going forward before training camp.
Bill Sideline Reporter, WGR, Sal Capaccio, our guest here. The offensive line, have they actually tried Deion Dawkins out at any other position other than left tackle? Seems like with a lot of these other guys, they're moving around Spencer Long and Feliciano and getting guys different reps at backup center and whatnot. To me, is the talk of moving Dawkins, have you seen him at any other position? Just your thoughts on where these puzzle pieces are fitting right now on the offensive line, Sal.
No, they haven't. And he's only been a left tackle. And as far as we've been out there, people have to remember again that there are 10 OTA practices, media only allowed to watch 3 of them. So there are 7 practices they've had OTAs during this phase that we have not been able to watch. And anybody can be lining up anywhere in those, and I would not be able to tell you if they moved them or had something else going on. From what I've seen every day, when I've been out there 3 times, Deion Dawkins has only been at left tackle. Adrian Waddle is a swing tackle, only a tackle. But you do have Jeremiah Searles, who's played pretty much everywhere. He was at center yesterday. He's played guard. He's played tackle. Spencer Long moving from left guard to right guard. Wyatt Teller, right guard, left guard. Tyon Secchi did not practice yesterday. Cody Ford has only been, I think, a right tackle since been out there, but he's worked both of the first and the second team. So they have been moving guys around. Feliciano, as you mentioned, guard and center. He did play center as a backup in Oakland. So it appears that most guys are moving around, but it looks like Deion Dawkins is the one guy that, has kind of stayed right where he is at left tackle.
It's kind of funny, Sal. I think with the drafting of Ed Oliver, we don't talk as much about the defense. I feel like this time of the year, we had a lot of questions about the defense. We're not spending a lot of time talking about the defense. There is a position battle that I'm interested in going into the preseason, and it's cornerback two opposite Trey White. I'm curious as to what your eyes are showing you from what you've been able to see at OTAs thus far.
Yeah, you're right. We don't really talk about it because I think most people think that's just going to kind of handle itself, take care of itself. They were one of the top defenses in the NFL last year. They have pretty much all their talent returning other than Kyle Williams, but then you plug Ed Oliver in right there. So I think people just expect that they're going to be pretty good again. But that is a spot that's been interesting for me. And from the very first practice that I've been out there several weeks ago, it's one thing that I've kind of focused on, and that is Levi Wallace has been there opposite Tre'Davious White pretty consistently. He has been the number one corner opposite Tre'Davious, so I'd say the number two corner overall. And then Taron Johnson has been in the slot. Now, as you watch practice unfold, I'll say, Kevin Johnson, I think, is going to make a push here. Mm-hmm. Kevin Johnson has looked good. He's long. He gets his hands on footballs. He's, I think, done a really nice, impressive job. But Levi Wallace has as well. And one thing I've said about Levi Wallace since last season ended is he's got to get bigger. He's got to get stronger. And I think he's showing a little bit of that. Now, here's the challenge. What happens when the pads come on? Is Levi Wallace going to be a little bit bigger and stronger than what he was last year and, be able to handle a little bit more of, getting his hands not really on footballs, but taking them away a little bit and being able to help out in the run game? That was, I think, a struggle for him last year. So we'll see what happens once they do that. I think until that happens, Levi stays opposite Tre'Davious White, but I would not be surprised if Kevin Johnson puts up a very big fight for that spot.
Sal, I remember this time last year we were concerned about the outside linebacker position just because, the experience there. But I was impressed. A lot of people were impressed. I think Matt Milano showed he could be something, but then he got hurt. So where are we at right now with Matt Milano after coming back from that injury?
He's been doing everything, guys. He's been a full go, full participant in every practice. This is luckily it's an injury that, breaking a bone is much easier and cleaner to recover from than ligaments, and that's really all he did. He had a broken bone, so he was able to come back. He did a lot of rehab. He was at the facility. I saw him when UB had their pro day out there, and he had told me that he was going to be ready, and sure enough, he's out there he's ready to go. And same thing with Taron Johnson. Now, Taron sometimes does wear a red non-contact jersey, but he's been out there pretty much doing everything. But, you know, Matt Milano looks good, and I think Matt Milano is a very underrated player. They expect a lot from him this year, but so far so good as far as the injury recovery is concerned.
Hey, finally, Sal, I want to make sure we touch on Josh Allen a little bit. I know that you mentioned he had a good practice last week, a rough practice yesterday, and also off the field, spending some time earlier this week with Jim Kelly. And hey, by the way, our quarterback can chug a beer. I don't know what's going on in Green Bay, but our quarterback showed this weekend that he can throw down.
I guess so. That stuff's not for me. I don't, you know, I'm not much of a drinker myself. So, you know, I guess that's what people like to see, you know, it makes certain websites and stuff like that. But I do know that, you know, Josh Allen is the unquestioned starter on this team now, beer or no beer, and he's going to be under center and, you know, he's getting all the reps. And yes, he did spend some time with Jim Kelly recently, with Kelly helping out, maybe showing him a little bit of film, what they did back in the K-Gun days, how he read some things, picking his brain, getting some ideas and things like that. But the rest I'll leave up to certain social media sites that like that sort of thing, because I'm not really into it that much, to be honest.
One last question, be remiss, because pretty much it was our whole Monday show dissecting what Roger Goodell said, and is this any different than 2 years ago? Sal, your reaction, your thoughts on what the commissioner had to say in regards to the Bills stadium situation?
Well, we could do a whole hour on this. I know we don't have that time.
It'd be depressing.
Yeah, I was listen, but it doesn't have to be. Let me try and sum it up this way, because I was standing about 5 feet from the commissioner when he said this. And here's the thing, okay? He has said the exact same thing for the last 4 years, 5 years since Pegula has bought the team, which is pretty much, I'm going to paraphrase what Roger Goodell said. Hey, New Era Field's not going to last forever. It's an older facility. The purchasing power there is not that great. We need to have something better, more updated, and something that's going to make more money. You don't have to have it today, but you better start planning for it and having a plan going forward, because at some point, you're going to have a new one. That's all he really said, and that's what he has said for the last 5 years. Now, he may have been nudging it a little bit more by having those comments, kind of saying, yeah, you know, I mean, it's important to have these, and this is why, you know, teams have relocated and stuff like that. The Pegulas know this, though. They have said this. We were at the owners' meetings. I was there with Kim Pegula and Terry Pegula in March in Phoenix, Arizona, when they said, yep, we understand what the situation is. That's why we're doing a feasibility study led by CAA Icon, the company that they've entrusted to do this. And when those studies are done, then they'll have more of a handle on where they want to go from there. But, guys, we are a long way from that. We have to remember, there is a CBA expiring in 2 years. No owner in their right mind is going to go ask for public money to build a stadium and then all of a sudden have a lockout or a strike on their hands where they're going to have to talk about how they're not making enough money from the players. That is 2 years from now. On top of that, you have a whole bunch of other things that have to get done with the state and the county, and a lot of people that have to do their own studies and get together. So my advice to Bills fans is chill out. Don't listen to the fear-mongering from a lot of websites. Understand that something eventually has to get done, but also understand that Terry and Kim Pegula are very aware of that, and they are very on top of it.
It feels very political to me, Sal, and I know that it will be political because you've got, you know, one side that says renovate and retrofit and another side saying new stadium or else. And you know, really what it comes down to is who's going to have the better campaign, I think, when it's all said and done. Having that data, that ammunition from that study is valuable for the Pegulas.
Yes, of course. But the thing is, like, as far as retrofit and new stadium, all of that is like the second or even third part of this entire process. The first part is they have to figure out, you know, what the timeline is of when they even need to start planning on this kind of thing. And then they have to figure out what does everyone really want. And, you know, you could do a retrofit like Kansas City or Green Bay or Chicago, and you could be fine and have the Bills stay here. Maybe people want that. Maybe people don't. There's a lot of money that's involved. We have to figure all that stuff out. But that is all way down the road before they figure any of that out. We're already having discussions. It's funny because our station too, guys, we have to. We're kind of forced to talk about this week. And sure enough, it goes right to, well, what kind of stadium do you want? I mean, hold your horses. We have to figure all this out over the next few years. There is a lease at this stadium. There's a CBA. There are what we call stadium credits built into the CBA that have already been tapped out. That is like a loan for owners that they can tap into once they decide and they do have a plan in place for a new stadium. There's private financing. There's all these different things that have to get triggered. So, again, we'll see. We'll see. see where it goes. The Pagulas are very aware. The CAA icon study, according to Kim Pagula, will be available to them and the results probably by the end of the summer. And that probably won't even be made public. In fact, I don't think it, I'm pretty sure it's not going to. And only a small part of it is going to be made even available to the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, who then is going to get his team together and say, where do we need to go? And oh, by the way, the county has been meeting with the Pagulas regularly, or at least semi-regularly, about these issues for the last couple of years. So it's not like everybody's suddenly saying, oh my God, we need to start meeting about a new stadium.
But when that report drops, Sal, that's going to be choreographed, the timing of that. We should expect that sometime soon, correct? By soon, I mean this year.
Well, we can expect that to be done, I guess, by the end of summer. But again, we're not going to see the results. And I don't think they're going to share them with us. Why? You know, this is cloak and dagger type stuff, and they're going to want to have their own, you know, it's their side, right? It's a negotiation.
Their own spin.
You don't want to give away what you want from your side. Yeah. So they're not going to tell us what you want. But you're right. I mean, that is the first part of all of this going to happen. The next part is, hey, guys, how about this? There's an election coming up. The people who are in charge of the state and the county right now might not even be the people in charge in the state and the county when the Pagulas decide to take this to the people and say, this is what we need. And everybody who's in charge then might have a different idea. So there are so many things that have to happen between now and then. In the meantime, the Buffalo Bills are playing at New Era Field. It's still standing. I was there yesterday. I saw it for myself. Facility still looks good. And, you know, we still got a few more years here before we have to kind of attack this problem.
Got to get that turf in there, though, right? You still got to get the turf in the stadium?
Yeah, they are redoing the turf. That's
good stuff. Sal, great stuff as always. Really appreciate your time. Look forward to talking to you again real soon, bud.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
You got it. Sal Capaccio. Man, always feel like a smarter Bills fan after talking to Sal.
A lot of ground we cover there. Everything from the stadium to Josh Allen to the offensive line, the defense, and training camp right at the beginning. And interesting that Sal bringing this up. He's telling us, hey, brace for a shorter camp based on the fact that the Bills are going to be going down and having a joint practice with Carolina. It's not going to cut into Buffalo time. That's cutting into Rochester time.
Yeah, you don't want to start the fear campaign now, Gene? We can start the fear campaign now. This is it. This is the beginning of the end.
It is, yeah.
Less dates this year. Because you're going down to Carolina? You'd rather be in Carolina than in Rochester? How dare you? You're about to leave. You're going to leave us, aren't you, Buffalo? The Bills are going to leave St. John Fisher. Are you building your fear bunker?
No.
No?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But it would be nice to have the dates. I mean, for I don't know, looking at somebody right now across from me that wants to take a vacation that doesn't know. We're assuming it's going to be the same date.
In full disclosure, I mean, last year, my entire family, my wife's family is all Italian, and they were giving me some guilt because we were trying to lock down dates for a vacation, a family, summer vacation, the entire family, and we were waiting on training camp schedule. Listen, I don't want to miss camp. You know, I missed camp because I was in Spain 1 year. I missed part of camp. I need to be at camp. Camp's important. It's a big deal.
It's our time. We're the center of the sports universe, we feel like.
It's a big deal. Yeah. So I want to be a kid. So, yeah, you know, some of us actually work our vacation time around that training camp schedule. Be nice to know it. But, you know, we're patient. And I've got my Italian trip already booked for July. So I'll be back before training camp starts. I know that much.
We won't leave you hanging.
Absolutely not. All right. That was great. If you missed it, we'll get it for you on demand, ESPNRochester.com, the radio.com app as well, if you want to check out Sal Capaccio and get caught up on all things Buffalo Bills. Sal, great as always with his time here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Lance Lisowski of the Buffalo News is set to join us next hour. We'll talk more about Ralph Krueger and his introductory press conference today with Jason Bottrell having some comments as well, Jeff Skinner, and everything that went into that. I'll drink to that is on the way next. Our take space. Some takes on tap in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Something happened last night in the Yankee game I found hilarious. Okay. Look, it was just one pitch, but I'm going to lay out the argument. Baseball will never do this, but it's time for change in baseball. And the Yankee game last night, you just had to roll your eyes.
I think outside of the box. I'm an outside of the box thinker. The NFL is moving in a direction where they can just now, let's just go ahead and open up the floodgates. An idea that's long overdue for the NFL. Having to do with our friends north of the border. I will explain. Next. I'll drink to that. Your calls are always welcome. 454-ESPN. That's the Betlem Residential Hotline. 454-3776. For over 96 years, there's been one company to call to service, repair, or replace your home air conditioning equipment. Betlem Residential Heating and Air Conditioning. Call Betlem Residential at 271-COOL or visit betlem.com. Today, I'll drink to that on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 9. 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24-7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.